All right, let's get started. First of all, thank you everybody for joining us from far and wide. The Abrakanfus Arts, the holy city of Yerushalayim, next to the Kosel. Wow, okay. The topic tonight is to get a little understanding of what's going on inside our kishkas, how Hashem wired us. All right, I think that's what we called the title. Understanding how Hashem wired us. You can't catch the virus through the computer. Yaks. Wow. Okay. We should just schmooze. I don't know why I have to give a vod. Okay, we'll make the vod quick and then we'll schmooze. Okay. A couple of schmoozing. I think I can't say over for sure. You know, the Rosh Hashiva used to tell us that if you say over my schmoozing, I'd rather you not quote me than you misquote me. So I think I originally heard the schmoozing from the Rosh Hashiva, but I don't remember exactly how he said it. So he definitely got me thinking about it. I think I'm saying over his schmoozing, but I'm not going to blame it on him. This particular insight is really fascinating, and I think it gives us an insight how you really have to be trained as a Baal Musar to pull something out of a Chazal. It's a fascinating insight. When you hear it, it's very powerfully mukhruch, and right there, all the information is right there. But you really got to pull it out of the Chazal. And when you look at the Chazal, you come up with five other shmuzim, but you don't come up with this one. I do with the classes in high school all the time. I give them this pasuk, this Rashi, and say the Rosh Hashiva has shmuz on it. Try to figure it out. They come up with five different shmuzim, but they don't get the Rosh Hashiva shmuz. It's fascinating. Okay, the pasuk says, famous halacha, ki yigam yishar haseh, tvachum mocharo, chamisha bakri, sham tachs, asher v'arbitzon tachs haseh. There's a very unusual halacha of dalar behei, that if a person steals and sells or shechts a shar or a seh, so he has to pay four times the amount if he gets caught for the sheep and five times the amount if he gets caught for the ox. So Rashi quotes, I believe it's Gemara in Bava Kamma, Ayin Tes. Okay. Rashi says, Amar Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, Chas hamakom al kvodon shel brios. Hashem has rachmanus on the kavod of his creations. How so? Shar sheholach baraglav, a shar that walks on its own 2 feet. Velonis bazibo aganav linso al kasepo, and the ganav is not embarrassed to carry it on his shoulders. Mashalim hey, he pays five. But a sheep, since he was embarrassed, he pays four times. So that's Pshat, why Rashi is not explaining why you pay more than Kefil. He's just explaining the difference between the Shar and the Seh, why the Shar is five and the Seh is Dalad. Why it's more than Kefil altogether. Rashi is not explaining. I'm not sure. But Rashi is just trying to explain why this seh is different than the shar. So Rashi says that pshat is, it's quoted in this Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan says that pshat is that Hashem is having rachmanas on the kavod of the brios. The ganav had to carry the sheep. The reason he carried the sheep is because that's the normal way to transport sheep. When you transport an ox, you transport it by, I guess that's why they make those nose rings. If somebody was pulling you by a ring attached to your nose, you'd probably follow along also. And so that's how they make the oxen walk around. They just pull it along. And the sheep is the sheep he's embarrassed by, because the normal way to carry the sheep is I keep on thinking I'm at the Kosel. I can't think about what I'm saying over here. I'm going to start davening soon. Okay, so the sheep, that's that the normal way to carry the sheep is, the normal way to transport the sheep is with carrying it. So the guy had to carry it, and he got embarrassed. So when people look at this chazal, so they say, oh, beautiful shmuz. They say, you see how much we have to be concerned for kavod habrius, even a ganim. You see even a guy who brings it on himself. This guy brought it on himself. You see a guy, even he's bringing on himself. I would think that would make it worse. I would think you would have, if I was a Hashem, I would say he has to pay more. He's ready to do the avera, even though there's busha. So, you know, he deserves even a bigger price. He's much worse. The other guy, okay, he's doing an avera. He's not even willing to suffer busha to do an avera. While the guy's doing an avera, Hashem is having rahmanas on him, ducking from his own ash because of let's say all sorts of wonderful shmuzim, how we have to be concerned about other people from Hashem. That's what people see on the surface of this chazal. But the Rashiva asked an incredible question. He said, let's think about this for a second. If we were to go ahead and ask the Ganav, are you embarrassed right now? You're carrying a sheep on your shoulders. Are you embarrassed? What would he say? What would the guy say? You could talk.
Probably not.
Okay. He probably would say no. David, you're off mute. What were you about to say?
He's looking forward to his geshmak or barbecue.
Yes. Yes. He's probably even going to smoke them, though, no?
Rather. Isn't it like a ganav in the middle of the night? That was not seer, like no one's seeing him anyway. He's like sneaking around. There's no one to be embarrassed by, and he's not exactly a big mamin b'Hashem because he's stealing, right?
Well, the busha is not coming from his being mamin. The busha is coming from he's carrying a smelly sheep on his shoulders. Busha is not coming from his frumkeit. It's not coming from the fact that he stole.
That's being relevant. Awesome.
Uh-oh, now the pressure's on. Okay, what?
It's just bino levinatma, though.
Maybe. You're saying because it's very shaykh that nobody even saw him.
That's the ganav. He's like sneaking around at night, hoping that no one, I mean, ideally no one's going to see him if he's successful, you know.
Well, okay, no one steals him stealing. I don't know if nobody sees him walking through the street. They think it's its own sheep by the time they steal him. His stomach still has a din of a ganav then. Because the busha is not coming from the act of Geneva. The busha is coming from the carrying it on his shoulders.
Isn't that something people do stam then? Like
to transport sheep? Yeah, it is something that people do stam. People that transport sheep, this is the way they do it.
Yes, why even a busha, Kolkan? Like
what?
Why is that a busha?
So you're being mechazik the question. You're agreeing to Schneer that very likely if you ask the guy, are you enjoying the are you feeling the busha? Very likely he's gonna say no. You're saying it's even mistaber that he's gonna say no. This is the normal way to transport sheep.
Is this like is this like women feel like depressed and the lack of tznius even though they all do it, right?
We're getting there. Okay, good. So Elamai, you have to say that subconsciously this guy Taka feels busha. So when you ask him, do you feel degraded by the fact that you're carrying the sheep? So very likely he's going to say no. He's thinking about his lamb chop barbecue that he's about to have. He's going to smoke the lamb chops. He might not be even eating them right away. He's going to smoke them for 24 hours to make it really, really geschmack. And he has 40 pounds of lamb chops that he's carrying on his shoulders. That's what he's thinking about. He's not feeling degraded. You ask him, he'll probably even tell you that. So what's pshat that Hashem is saying, I'm deducting from his onesh because he feels degraded? You ask him, he says, no, I'm not feeling degraded. So what's pshat that we're saying he is? I might want to tie in a subconscious. So we really have to understand what subconscious is. If he's not realizing that he's degraded, so how is it a busha? Whatever's going on is subconscious. So shkarach, that's subconscious, but why is that counting as onesh if he's not feeling it? And if he's feeling it, why doesn't he say he's feeling it?
Elamai. Is that a unique kasha on this specifically?
What?
Like, or is that launching a broadside attack on all subconscious feelings now?
Well, really, I think this helps us clarify what a subconscious feeling is.
So what was Rosh Hashiva's question? Though, like, somebody he's saying, like, you could normally say that understand subconscious feelings.
No, I don't think that would. Okay, hold on one second. Let's say the part, and then we'll get to the then we'll get to the caches. But it, you know what's troubling here, just to sum it up, is that if you ask the guy, "Are you feeling degraded?" Very likely he'll say no. And very likely he's not feeling degraded. He's not even thinking about that. And tomorrow he'll go do it again. And very likely he does things that are even more degrading than what he's doing now. You know, people voluntarily do things that are a lot more degrading than carrying a sheep on their shoulders. And it doesn't seem to bother them in the slightest bit. No one's pressuring them to do it, but they voluntarily do things that are a lot more degrading. So what's pshat? So Elamai, you have to say there's a subconscious feeling that he's really hurting. But what is the havana of a subconscious feeling that's hurting? Do you feel your subconscious feelings or not? You have to say that pshat is that he really is feeling it. So why doesn't he stop carrying the sheep? Why doesn't he know? So you have to explain this, that he's feeling degraded, but he doesn't know where that degrading feeling is coming from. He's not feeling good about himself. He's feeling lowly, but he doesn't connect the two. He doesn't realize that the reason why he's feeling lowly is because he's treating himself in a disrespectful way. You know, you could imagine, if you want to make it a little bit more practical terms, nowadays people aren't really carrying their sheep around. I'm not sure if this would apply to somebody who picks up their dog while they're crossing the street. I'm not sure if dogs are different than sheep. But imagine, okay, here in Florida, it's still warm and people are still out jogging. So, you know, I asked the guys, what would you view as more degrading? What would you rather do? If I gave you an option, either walk around the canal carrying a sheep or run around the canal without your shirt on. So most guys answer that they'd rather carry a sheep. So because it'd be more degrading for them to run around without their shirt on. So why are so many people running around the canal without their shirts on? It's degrading. Oh my, they don't realize it's degrading. So they're taka waking up in the morning, not feeling good about themselves, but they don't understand where that's coming from. They think that, you know where that's coming from? Because I only have a 6-pack and the other guy I passed on the canal has an 8-pack. So tonight I'm going to go jogging again for a few more miles and I'm going to do a few more pull-ups with my shirt off. And maybe my 6-pack is going to turn into an 8-pack and then I'll be happy. And then they wake up the next morning feeling even worse because they just did it to themselves again. So the feeling is really there. The subconscious feelings aren't feelings that we're unaware of. We're very aware of them, but we don't know where they're coming from. On a practical level, it happens to us all the time. You know, you wake up in the morning and you're not in a good mood. So sometimes we know why we're not in a good mood, but we could very likely not know why we're not in a good mood. There's some hargosha that we have that I'm not feeling good about myself, but we don't really know where that's coming from. That's the havana of a subconscious feeling. Subconscious feelings are not things that are like on the back burner of our mind. They're very much in the forefront of our mind. We feel that hargosha. We just don't know where it's coming from. Aaron was mentioning another example that the Rashi was fond of bringing up. Rafi, maybe you'll remember this chazal from 10th grade. We argued about it, I think. It says, "Gnai hu li'isha kisha nashim mistakim bo." That women feel degraded when men look at them. So is obvious kasha. So why are you dressing like that? You know, that's the obvious kasha. Unfortunately, many people out there don't seem to have this attitude, and they think what's going to bring them satisfaction and make them feel good about themselves is getting more likes on their posts. So what's Taka going on? Are they feeling good from it, or are they feeling bad from it? So it's very clear from Chazal that they're feeling bad from it. So why do they keep on doing it? They're not trying to torture themselves. Why do they keep on doing it? They keep on doing it because the society that they're living in is giving them the impression that this is what's going to bring them satisfaction. But the reality is that it's the exact opposite. So they're living in a society where what they're learning from, the impression that they're getting is what's going to bring them simchas achayim, is more attention. And the reality is it's the exact opposite. I was speaking at Shaar HaBina trying to explain this concept. So I told him, you know, I'm a Rebbe in high school. And imagine if at the end of the year, the kids came over to me and they said, you know, Rabbi Brigido, we really want to let you know that we really enjoyed being in your class. You were the best Rebbe we ever had. And I want to tell you why, because you wear really nice ties. And it brought a certain, you know, happiness to the room to come into class every day and have a nice tie in front of the room. So I would feel pretty bad about myself. That's why you really enjoyed being in my class. What about everything else I bring to the table? So that's really what's going on. That's the hargosha of these women, but they don't realize that's why they're feeling like a piece of garbage because of the way they're treating themselves. And they're thinking that the reason they're not feeling good about themselves is because they're not getting enough attention, because that's the messages that they're getting from society. So subconscious feelings are very real. This Ghana, the guy running around the canal without a shirt, they're feeling like a piece of garbage because they're not respecting that godless that they have. They're disrespecting themselves, that they're not appreciating their godless, they're not giving the covered to the godless Adam that they have. And Hashem wired them that if you don't treat yourself with that respect, you don't feel good about yourself. We got to just trust the Torah. You know, we could start playing the guessing game. You know, how do people figure out what's going to bring them Simchas Achayim? The basic way people do it, you know, they get advice from other people. They go with their gut feelings. They go with their past experiences. They go with their impressions of someone else is happy, and I see what they have. Must be what they have is making them happy. If only I had that, I'd be happy too. It's a lot of guesswork, which brings to a lot of different pursuits. But the reality is that we have here the Torah giving us some clues, more than clues, of what we need to keep ourselves feeling good. One of the major components that we need is we have to treat ourselves with the proper covet. If we're not treating ourselves with the proper COVID, then we're not going to feel good about ourselves. But it's really true, I think, it's not just in this inyan of making ourselves, of having ourselves appreciate our godless, but it's really true with all the Shmiras HaMitzvahs. There's a famous Rambam, I assume it's famous because there's a Shmuz on it, but and the other Rambams that are famous are the ones that are Tova gave Shiran. But the Rambam says in Hilchos Gerushin that we know the halacha is if a man gives a get against his will, it's not a valid get. So if you would have a woman who wants to get a get, and she would hire a hitman to go beat up her husband until he's willing to give a get, the halacha is that it's not a valid get. However, if Bez Din paskins that this woman is obligated to give a get, is that this man is obligated to give a get, and Bez Din were to go ahead and beat him up the same way, or Bez Din were to go ahead and hire that same hitman, I think, then the get would be valid. So, Frank the Rambam, what do you mean? If it's Baal Karacho, it's Baal Karacho. So the Rambam says that every Jew was created with a cheshek, with a desire to do the Ratzon Hashem. And if Beis Din is paskening that this Jew is obligated to give a get, we know for a fact that what his Ratzon is to give a get. So if he doesn't listen to Beis Din, he's not following his Ratzon. If he listens to Beis Din, he's following his Ratzon. So again, he's kicking and screaming, I don't want to give a get, I don't want to give a get. He's only ready to give a get because he doesn't want his kneecaps broken. That's what he's telling us, and that's how he feels. But the Rambam says we know for a fact that he wants to give a get. Now, we're not talking, it's not pshat, because way back when he was in yeshiva, he built that appreciation for Avodas Hashem into his teva, and it's really there. We're talking about any Jew who had a halachic marriage, this applies to. Could have a guy who knows absolutely nothing about the Torah, a complete Am Haaretz. All he did, he tried to, he was trying to make his mother-in-law happy. So he had a rabbi officiate at his chassidim, and now his wife wants to get divorced. So she's trying to get a halachic divorce, but this guy has absolutely no shaychus to Yiddishkeit, but we know for a fact that Hashem created him with the Ratzon that I want to do what Hashem wants me to do. There's a concept of Histaka B'Raisa Bar Alma. Hashem created the world, created us based on the Torah. Hashem created the whole purpose of Hashem creating the world is for his chesed. It's very mistabra that Hashem did it in a way that we'll actually be happy if we're following the Ratzon Hashem. Hashem put in our teva to want to follow the Torah, to appreciate our godless, to battle the Yetzirah. Rav Nosson Vachvogel, I saw in the Sefer Lekei Rishimus of Hanukkah, I guess it was connected to Hanukkah because it's talking about the Greeks who started sports. Saying what's pshat that people are so into sports. So he says that pshat is that our tafke b'chaim is to battle the Yetzirah, is to compete against the Yetzirah. That's the ultimate competition. Hashem wired us to have a love for competition because that's what we're here for. So and you see it, the more intense the sport, the more intensely people follow it. People are much more into following football than they are into following baseball. Because, okay, baseball is nice. It's competition. How far can you hit the ball? Let me see if I can catch it. I apologize to the baseball fans. I know that they say that baseball, to make the major leagues, you really have to be a much better athlete than in any other sport. Fine. But Lamaisa, the competition is not as intense. You're not taking the other guy down to the ground and smashing his head. It's a different level of intensity of competition. The more intense the competition, the more it excites us because that's what we're wired for. Hashem wired us to follow the Torah. Hashem wired us to treat ourselves the way the Torah wants us to be treated. It's really with all aspects of the Torah. Our whole society Hashem created in a way that things will be so much better off if we follow the Torah. We have our seagulls down here now. They flew down here from where most of you are up north. And Errol still goes out there and he feeds them. And it's amazing to see. You have these seagulls all fighting over the same piece of bread. They rip it out of each other's mouths when they have the opportunity. And then they all go right back to being best friends. Right. You don't see like one seagull like rip the bread out of the other seagull's mouth, and then they're fighting and they don't want to fly next to each other anymore. They don't want to sit on that pipe going across the canal next to each other anymore. They're right back there as good friends as they ever were. Because people would never be that way. If somebody sat down next to you and as you put the sandwich in your mouth, he grabbed it out of your mouth and put it in his mouth, that would probably affect your relationship somewhat. Because Hashem created the halachas of chesed. He created the dinim of matzlichayt, and he created us that's how we'll function best if we'll do that. There was no need. Hashem, there's no mitzvah of chesed that the birds have. So Hashem didn't create the birds that it bothers them if somebody does that. There's no concept of family. So there's no mitzvah of kibud avim because it just doesn't matter. It's like this with all aspects of the Torah. Rather than get caught up in just the pursuits of what's going on around us, we look around us. Many of us are out there working in the secular world, or even working in the Jewish world, and we could lose focus. Yes, we have to make a parnasa, we have to support our families, we got to do what we need to do, but we could lose focus on what's really going to bring us happiness. Everybody wants happiness, but we could very, very easily lose focus on what's going to bring us happiness because the world is crazy out there. And the pursuits very often have no shaykhus to the Torah, and we could get very easily caught up. We have to stay grounded and realize that Hashem created us, and Hashem created us in a way that our subconscious, our gush is, we want to do the Ratzon Hashem all the time, regardless of how firm we are. That's the Metzias, that's our Teva. We're not going to satisfy it with anything else. We have a cheshek for Nitzchias. I remember very often the Rosh Hashiva used to talk about, what's the guy's name? When driving down the LIE towards...
Left Rock City.
You're passing these buildings. Left Rock City. So there was this rich guy, Left Rock, and I'm pretty sure he was a Jew, and I think he was like the Rosh Hashiva's age. So I guess the Rosh Hashiva had that comparison in his head, and he always used to say that. What's Pshat? Why does he want his name on the buildings? He had an apartment complex and called it his own city, Left Rock City. Why did Mr. Left Rock want to do that? Because Hashem wired him with a desire for Nitzchias, for eternity. The reason why Hashem wired us with the desire for eternity is because that's what Olam Haba is. Olam Haba is eternal. So Hashem wired us with a desire for eternity, because that's what the world is all about. So they have a desire for eternity, but they're not channeling it to a real eternity. The only eternity they know is that after I die, my name will still be up there on the building. So they make statues. They put their name up there. It's an interesting thing that even people who don't believe in the afterlife want to be remembered, which is a shtickle pella. Like, what's pshat? Why do they want to be remembered? You're not going to know that you're being remembered. You hold that once you're dead, you're dead. So why do you want to be remembered once you're dead? Why does it make a difference to you? You know, it's not going to make a difference to you later. Why do you care? Teresh says, because they know inside of everyone's Teva, there's a cheshek for Nitzchias. Because we really, Hashem wired us to want Olam Haba. Right, so we have to realize and be mechazik ourselves in is that Hashem created us as beings based on everything he wrote in the Torah. When we're following the Ratzon Hashem, when we're following the guidelines of how to treat ourselves like a mensch, when we're following halacha, we're going to be happy. Because that's what Hashem made us. That we could guess, we could go to therapists and psychologists and get there and pay lots of money and try and figure ourselves out. We're very, very complicated. People are very, very, very complicated. People don't understand us. We don't understand other people. How many times did it happen that someone comes over to you, wanted to tell you a joke, and you just like, leave me alone, I need my own space now. Because we misread people. People are very complicated. We don't know what's going on inside other people's heads. We don't know what's going on inside our own head. The hardest person to understand is ourselves. And we could play the guessing games, but life is short. And if we want to get it right, just open the Torah and look at what Hashem is telling us to do. And when we do what Hashem is telling us to do, that's really how we're going to feel good about ourselves. That's really what's going to bring us a true simchas achaim. Now is the time. Okay, everybody say it's been a pleasure.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Rabbi's example of the sheep. Yeah. And I looked it up, Rabbi, by the way. You're pretty close to the amount of meat and a sheep.
To what?
The amount of meat and a sheep. Rabbi said 40 pounds. The person I just saw is 35. Right. Wow. Okay. Very impressive. I don't, but kids are, my question is, that example and other examples are, if you do degrading things, it's going to make you unhappy. But how does Rabbi know that when you don't do degrading things, it's going to make you happy? Meaning, how do we know the positive side?
So you're getting philosophical over here. You're tying happiness is not lack of desire. Maybe it just brings you to a level of no feeling of desire, but not necessarily feeling of simcha.
Right.
Is it Schneer? You want to answer?
I don't know. I just couldn't hear you anymore, so I thought you were just passed. But I do have.
I was thinking about David's question. David's asking Akasha. He's saying that okay, we see that if you treat yourself in a degrading way, you feel degraded. Isn't it Mistara, David, that if you treat yourself in a degrading way, you feel degraded? So if you treat yourself in a bakavadika way, you'll feel mechubad.
Okay, but I don't know if that translates necessarily into happiness. And also, I'm not sure. Like, let's say that person are jogging on the canal, puts on a shirt. So now all of a sudden he's happy? Of course not. Like, there's much more that goes into it. So I guess he could focus on every single area of his life that he's degrading himself. Okay, now fix that area. Oh, now... Look, there's so many, you know, he is not degrading himself 100 times over the day. So now he must be okay. But I don't know. Now, okay, fine. So now he's not negative 100, but doesn't mean he's positive.
I mean, we definitely feel much better about ourselves. Not maybe the right word is not simcha, but we feel good. Don't we feel happy when we have the opposite. The opposite of design is kavod. People do a lot of things for kavod. They work very hard for kavod. You know, they want to walk around in a nice suit and a nice car. It costs them half of their year's salary, the car they're driving. But they do it because it has that status. People want to feel good when other people are mechabed them, and that makes them feel good. So it probably makes us feel good when we're mechabed ourselves. No, it's pretty mistaken. It might not be mukhrak from this chazal, but I think it would be a bigger chiddush to say that. There are definitely other things that contribute. Yes, just this guy just putting on a shirt might not do it. He might also have to put on pants. I'm not sure. And maybe even a tie would help. But you know, the more, you know, the less bizayin he has, the better off will be. And once he actually starts treating himself in bakavadik way, he'll feel bakavadik. He'll feel chashuv.
I heard I think Rabbi say the shmuz before, and it was Rabbi goes from the negative to all of a sudden the simcha and the Torah. You know, it's the whole package, and therefore, if you do the Torah, it's the same thing by the Torah. Also, I can ask the same question.
So, well, by the Torah, you see, it's called Ritzono. In other words, it has to be Ritzono. From the Rambam, you see that our Ritzon is to follow Hashem. I think it's pretty mistaken that if you're satisfying your desires, your real desires, not your superficial animalistic instincts. But if you're satisfying what your true inner cheshek is, then it's mistaber, that's going to bring you satisfaction. Right? If satisfaction is coming from accomplishment, So that's the ultimate accomplishment. What you want the most is what you're going to value as the greatest accomplishment, I assume. If you usually goes together.
So Rabbi feels that there's Rabbi thinks that there's this built-in nature to the world that based on whatever Torah says. So therefore, if you do X, Y, Z, 613, but you follow Torah, and therefore, even if that's going to inherently make a person happy, like if a person does that, it's inherently going to make a person happy because that's how the world's built, that, you know, you follow this Torah philosophy, you know, and that's basically going to inherently, that's how the world's created, and that's going to do it for a person.
Yes, there's a Gemara, I forgot exactly, in a Gemara in Sukkah that talks about, it's trying to figure out, I think it's trying to figure out which tree the lulav comes from. And the Gemara entertains one possibility, and it says it can't be that tree because that tree has thorns and people would prick their finger. It can't be that's the tree. Now, it's a pretty strong zemen in the foot that there's no mitzvah out there that's any more unpleasant than getting pricked by a thorn. Yeah. Most people would probably be willing to get pricked by a thorn if they could pick one or two mitzvahs that they could get rid of. So it's a little kasha, but what you see is that Chazal understood that the pleasantness that the mitzvahs brings to our lives, or certainly the lack of unpleasantness, is there is no unpleasantness in the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are made to bring pleasantness to our lives. Hashem wouldn't give us any mitzvah that isn't. Some of the mitzvahs we might have a hard time explaining how it fits into that concept, but that's definitely the mitzvahs.
Right. So therefore, because it's inherently pleasant, so that's the manual for happiness, just to do all these pleasant things.
Yeah. Well, listen, we got to do them anyways, right?
Right. I'm just trying to understand the thought process. Because, like, I don't want to take any more time, but back in the day, I gave a schmooze to my coworkers, and I just, like, totally not, it was a quarter Jewish, but not inherently Jewish, but without talking about Hashem, I just said something about, like, Galus Adam or whatever. But at the time, I was thinking, like, hey, bottom line, if a person, you know, if in person, intrinsically, let's say, if a person believes in themselves and a person, you know, these things should make a person, and if this is how it works, and intrinsically should make a person happy, you know, then whatever. So that's what I was thinking at the time. But I'm pretty sure I'd be saying also kind of like that. Just intrinsically, that's how it works. It's like, this is how a person's happy. Just X, Y, Z, and that's it. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, a lot of it makes sense. Certainly, the godless other piece makes sense. You treat yourself in a hush of a way. You feel good about yourself.
Right.
All right, everybody say, Schneer, put in a good word for us at the wall.
I was going to comment previously that when Rebbe was talking about the Kofinoso by Get, is very great, because I was literally learning that on Kedushin Nun Amud Aleph today, where it brings it as a proof of Dvaram Shebalev Lohavu Dvaram. And I think I remember Rebbe's shot that just like, oh, the Pintor Yid, he wants to give the get.
There we go. It's in their snare. All right, everybody say, great to see everybody.
Yeah, Harvey.
Enjoy Adar. Stay safe.